I mean, I think a lot of times people don't care about how pretty they look as much as what the content is. I mean, I've found several times that I have taken a lot of time, waited for the right light, and taken some really nice, you know, high-end photos, and nobody cares. And then I will post a picture of my shop that is a disaster and get like 1,200 likes.
Welcome back to the Make or Break Show, where each week we bring you stories of incredible makers and the make or break moments that have defined them along the way. I'm your host, Brandon Cullum, and this week we chat with Nick Key from Key Woodworks, find out how Nick is growing his side business through Instagram and how he balances it all with his full-time job. All right, what is up, guys? Welcome back to the show. We've got another fun interview for you guys this week. We are hanging out with woodworker extraordinaire Nick Key from Key Woodworks. But before we jump into the show, as always, we would love to support all the wonderful patrons over on Patreon. Thank you guys so much for all of the support. If you would like to support the show and help fund what we're doing and keep this going forward, you can head over to patreon.com/makeorbreakshow. There's a bunch of different levels, a bunch of different ways to support. Even if it's $1 a month, that would be awesome. We will shout you out over on the show, as well as have some other cool rewards for you guys. I hope you guys are doing well and the summer is treating you well. One of the things that I love to do in the summer is getting out in the shop, especially super early in the morning. And what's fun about that is usually the sun comes up. And so there's usually that kind of golden hour time when taking pictures of the stuff that I'm working on. It actually looks really cool because my shop's pretty dark. I haven't put really nice lights in or anything like that yet. And so those pictures always do really well. And that has always been inspired by Nick. So Nick Key is from Key Woodworks. And his stuff has always stood out to me, especially on social media, especially on Instagram, just because of his aesthetic and how things look. It's really nice style. Things look great. And you can tell he's got a background in photography and videography, and he does some really cool stuff. And we get into a little bit. He also, on Instagram stories, he was actually full out producing those with a camera and turning it on its side and making these really cool beats to a story that happened every 10 seconds. So we get into that as well. But he is just doing an incredible job over on Instagram that has helping drive traffic towards his business, where he's building custom furniture, and he's just getting into the content game a little bit as well. I mean, he partnered with Craig, I believe, about a week ago when this goes live on a project over there. And so he's kind of at the beginning stage of a lot of this stuff, especially compared to some of the people we've had on in the past. And so hopefully there's some tips you guys can find relatable when you're sharing your stuff. Even if you make incredible things, if you want to make a business out of it, you got to get that in front of people. And so Nick does a great job from the photo and the video side of things. So let's jump into our interview with Nick Key. All right, guys, I want to welcome you back to the Make or Break Show. We're hanging out with the one and only Nick Key today from Key Woodworks, calling all the way in from Nicholasville, Kentucky. Thank you so much for jumping on. And I was joking with you a little bit beforehand, but you have the nice radio voice and the nice radio setup. So you need to start a podcast. You have all the stuff ready to go.
Yeah, I have all the stuff to do a podcast, and ironically, I edit a podcast. So
yeah. You do? Is it Made for Profit? Is that right? Okay.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. I feel like I remember Brad mentioning that, so that's fun. But well, sweet man. Well, you do a lot of crazy stuff, and I know that woodworking is not your full time gig. But for people that may not be familiar with you, kind of what is your, like, what's your day-to-day look like now? Because you work for a church, is that right?
Yeah. I work for a mega church, as most people would call it. I'm a videographer, video producer. My actual title is video production leader. Okay. But that really doesn't mean anything other than I'm just a videographer on the creative team. And we basically shoot film stories, different other random videos for internal purposes, and then stuff for the weekend services. So pretty much Monday through Friday, I'm always either filming or editing some sort of video.
That's cool. What church is it?
Southland Christian Church.
Okay. Man, I feel like I might have actually been there. I work for a company that does a lot of like 5K road races. And
yeah.
I feel like we might have done something around there. If I'm thinking of the right place, I may have to get with you after this. But well, that's cool. So that definitely makes sense when people pull up your stuff, especially on Instagram. They're going to notice this guy like knows what he's doing when he's taking pictures and doing video. So that makes a lot of sense from the day job. But on the making side of things, then was that something you did growing up, or were you really more into the video side?
No, I wasn't on any of that. It's funny. I grew up playing sports and mainly baseball. So I've been in the baseball world my whole life. I played through high school and was lucky enough to play in college, and that was just a blast. And I thought I was going to go into sport management. I actually graduated college with a degree in sport management and thought I was going to be in the baseball world, like in front office kind of stuff, and just could never get my foot in the door. And photography kind of, it's a kind of a crazy story. Like, I was working for a fitness company in Nashville at the time and was like, I'm just not feeling this anymore. I got to do something else. At the time I was in a Volkswagen club and I wanted good photos of my car. So my wife was nice enough to get me my first DSLR. And basically from that first time opening that box, I was hooked on photography and just learning everything I could possibly learn about photography, which then leads into videography. But I mean, one thing leads to another, and then I'm shooting weddings. So it was from cars to people. And it's just been a wild ride of just learning and learning and learning everything from photography to now doing video for the past 4 years professionally. It's been basically learning every day something.
Yeah, that's cool. So what about then photography specifically like caught you? Because I know a lot of folks, they'll get maybe especially like a DSLR, especially a few years ago, and then it seems like most folks will kind of put it away because they like turn it to the M setting and they have no clue what to do. So what about it like stuck with you about taking photos?
For me, it was really just getting good photos. Back when I started, DSLRs were getting popular and they were pretty affordable. And if you put them in auto, they took a good photo about 25% of the time. And I didn't like that ratio. So I wanted to take a good photo 100% of the time. And the only reason or only way you can do that is to put it in full manual and tell the camera what you want to do and not let the camera decide on its own. So really that was the biggest step was like you said, putting it into M and taking full control. And I still learn stuff all the time about light and things like that, but just taking that big step and putting it into manual and figuring out, you know, what affects something else to give you a, you know, quote unquote proper exposure.
Yeah, that's cool. So that you said led you kind of naturally into video. How did the woodworking side then start with you?
Well, I've always been handy. I can't think of who said it. You know, if women don't find you handsome, they at least better find you handy.
Yeah.
I think that's probably like a Red Green show or something from way back in the day. But I've always been handy, and I've always liked to fix things on my own, whether it be just you know, a simple repair or actually making something large that we need or something like that. But woodworking kind of came up when we moved into this house that we're currently in. Gosh, it's been over 3 years now. We didn't have a whole lot of furniture when we moved here. And rather than, you know, go to a retail place and buy all this furniture we needed, I found some plans and just started going at it. And basically from the first table that I made for our house, I've just made, I can't even count now how many tables I've made for other people that, you know, they see, I mean, word of mouth just spreads, you know, where'd you get this table from? Where'd you get this end table? Where'd you get this coffee table? And it's just kind of grown into this ongoing commission cycle of I finish one commission and then somebody else comes along with another idea. And I just keep making stuff for people and I'm not complaining.
That's cool. So that first table, what did that look like? Like how did you build it?
It is still in my dining room.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, we use it every day. I think I used the plans from DIY Pete. Okay. Just a really simple farmhouse table. I did the breadboards incorrectly with pocket holes the first time around and then learned that that was the incorrect way to do it. Took those out and redid it, and it's been great ever since.
That's cool. Yeah, my first build, for the most part, was the same kind of farmhouse table. And I joked with my wife now, because we still use it, but I didn't know like wood glue was even a thing then. And so it was just like pocket holes like and nothing else. And so like when you sit at it now, like you have to like chase your food around because the table rocks so much. Like it's ridiculous. But that's
awesome.
Cool. So was it then, it sounds like more out of necessity that kind of you kept going with it. Is that right?
Yeah, I'd say for sure it was a big necessity to start.
That's cool. So with on the video and the photo side of things, was that just a natural part of it? Like why did you want to document your process and share what you were doing?
Gosh, I mean, when I first started woodworking, I didn't even think anybody wanted to see it. It wasn't a good year and a half into making things that I really decided to, oh, I guess I should take a photo of this now and then, or, you know, I should make a video. It was kind of an afterthought to even start my Instagram. And I was just encouraged by a buddy that like, hey, you should probably put this on Instagram. Other people want to see this. And, you know, I was like, oh, okay. So I did. And, you know, it's been history since then.
Yeah, that's cool. So when did you first start posting on Instagram?
I think it's been about 2 years. Yeah.
That's cool. And your account, especially when I was just first starting to look more at making, especially online and Instagram, yours kept popping up, especially because you could tell it was just the stuff you were doing was quality, but like how you were documenting it was quality. What was that, the growth kind of like for you? Like when you were going at it, were you just posting? Like was there any intentionality to start out?
No, when I first started out, it was super random. I had no agenda. I think the first photo on my feed is of a clock that I made that was just kind of on a whim, just totally random. And then it kind of morphed into, well, I'm doing this now, so I'll take a finished photo with that. Or I've got this project, I'll take a finished photo. And it was pretty much all just finished, you know, like beauty shots. And then I think it was around, probably around like when I was about 500 followers, Brad from Fix This Build That actually gave me a follow Friday.
Oh, cool.
And I was just like completely floored and picked up a ton of followers. And then I was like, I guess I should probably do a little bit more stuff, like let people see a little bit more of, you know, the process and, you know, what I actually do to make some of these pieces. So it was then I decided that I was going to start posting once a day. And I pretty much have been on that once a day train for about a year.
That's cool.
So it took about a year for me to really start taking Instagram, like, quote unquote, serious.
Yeah. And so that once you switched over to that one post a day, did you notice a difference like in the consistency as far as the growth of the account?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. Instagram loves consistency and they love engagement. So if you're posting once a day, people are seeing your stuff and, you know, commenting and on the rare occasion, they'll share some of your stuff or bookmark a post. So It loves it when you're consistent.
Yeah, that's cool. And what's crazy too, because I'm scrolling back through your feed, it looks like you hit 10,000 in February of this year, and then you're getting super close to 20?
I just hit 19 this morning.
Okay, so I mean, so you're about to double it in what, less than half a year, and you've been going for 2 years. So has it just been kind of just consistently ramping up as you've grown?
Yeah, I've seen it's a pretty steady curve upwards. I mean, as long as you stay consistent. I took a month off. I took June completely off. Just I was getting burned out, and the once a day thing was just, it was kind of getting cumbersome, and I just wanted to, you know, take a step back and not be on my phone.
Yeah, yeah.
Really. But and Instagram didn't like that. So it took about two weeks or even more when I started posting again to actually getting any kind of engagement from people and other people actually seeing it. So
that's cool. And then one thing I really like about your account especially is the personality you bring to everything. And I know a lot of folks find that on the story side of things. And if I remember right, I might have messaged you way back in the day, but you are producing those a little bit different than just using your, like the selfie on your phone, right? Like you're actually filming those old school, not old school, but
yeah,
but well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I actually found a guy in Canada who is just crushing the Instagram story game. His name is Jesse Driftwood. And if you're not following him, you should. He's an incredible filmmaker, photographer, and his stories are just, I mean, bar none, probably the best on Instagram. And I found him through YouTube, actually, and he described how he was filming his stories, and he's actually taking a regular camera and filming them in 9x16, so he's turning his camera sideways. Yeah. So you just have to be really intentional about how you're shooting for the Instagram stories, and then, you know, you just cut it to some music and actually tell a story, you know, and then break it up over your 15 seconds to where, you know, it's got some meat rather than just a selfie of I'm at Home Depot and Varathane's on sale.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it I really, really like that, and I wanted to emulate that. So, you know, I tried to put my own spin on stuff, and I did that for quite a while. But that, I mean, hats off to Jesse because he continues to just put out just phenomenal stories, and it's a lot of work.
Yeah, when I saw you first starting to do it, because I think I saw Jesse's stuff because he was on, I guess like Peter McKinnon interviewed him or something like that, and I watched it. I'm like, holy crap! Like this is intense. So back when you were doing those, did you have like the full story in your mind? Like, I want to tell this, and then I'm going to go back, edit it, and splice it into 10 seconds. Like, what did that kind of process look like from the idea generation?
Yeah, so I always had an end game. I always thought, this is the story I want to tell, but how do I get from A to Z? So I always knew like the basic idea. I didn't always have everything storyboarded out as you would like with something with higher production where, you know, I have a shot list of this, and this. I always, you know, take for example, probably one of my favorites is my pocket hole dovetail story where, you know, you come into the shop and I start planing and getting the stock ready to put some dovetails on, and then it's a hard cut to me drilling pocket holes. And, you know, I knew that's what I wanted to do, but I didn't know the steps along the way, how I was going to shoot it. So it's pretty much, here's my idea, and then I'm going to wing everything in between just to make sure I can still tell the story and it look good. Yeah. But I never really like sit down and write out a shot list of, you know, everything I want to show.
That's cool. So when are you doing this work? We're recording 8:30. I think your kids are in bed. I'm trying not to wake my daughter right next to us, or 8:47, I guess it is now, p.m. Are you doing stuff early in the morning? What's this look like? Is it a weekend deal?
So I'm in the shop most Saturdays when I don't have a wedding.
So you're still shooting weddings in on the side too. Okay.
I still shoot about 10 to 15 weddings a year. So usually summer and fall is the biggest time for weddings.
Are you doing pictures or are you doing photo or video or both?
Just still. So just photo. So if I do have a Saturday open, I'm lucky enough that my in-laws are in town. They keep my kids on Friday nights so that my wife and I can go out on a date night on Friday nights. And that frees up usually Saturday mornings for me. It's been a little bit different since we added the third kid in February or in January, but it's still a good trade-off where they've got kids and I have some free time on Saturday mornings and stuff. But so I do get mainly shop time Saturday mornings. Every now and then I'll sneak in like an hour or two after work when I come home. Like this evening I came in and I just couldn't take anymore. My shop was just a complete disaster. And instead of me just being down there by myself, I turned it into family time, clean up the shop. And I had the kids collect all the scraps and stuff like that. And they ended up just playing on the floor and making towers out of my scraps. But I got the shop cleaned, which was a huge step in the next direction so I can get started on my next project. But it really comes down to just an hour or two here during the week. And then the bulk of my time on a Saturday.
That's cool. So not only are you creating great projects, then you're having to create all this content around it too to post on a daily basis, at least what you're back to now. So are you capturing all that pretty much as you're building on the weekends? Or is that something you're able to like take a quick picture every day? Like what is, how are you scheduling that out?
It really depends on what I'm doing. I just finished the swing build for Craig Tools, and I took like three photos during that process because I didn't have a whole lot of time to actually, build and then document and film. So I pretty much just built it and filmed everything I could in pretty much one morning. I actually ended up taking off work one morning and doing that whole build and got it done because I was just under the gun deadlines and whatnot. But I try to take as much photos as I can, but I'm not ever really good at remembering to take good photos. It's just one of those things, like when I start a build, I just get into it and it's my wheels are spinning about what I need to do next rather than, hold on, let me grab a good shot of this. So I tend to really gravitate towards beauty shots because, I mean, it's already finished. So then I can set up my lighting and whatever, wait till golden hour and then get what I need. But like the daily grind of remembering I have to post something tonight, like I've got 9 minutes before I normally post. And luckily I've got something queued up already to go and it's actually about this podcast, so I'm good for tonight, but I have nothing else planned for the rest of the week, so I'll figure something out. Usually something pops up during the middle of the day of something that's going on and I'll be able to take a quick picture of something.
Yeah. So you're on a schedule then. There's a hard time that you post each day?
Yeah, I post every night about 5 to 9 or 9 o'clock. Okay. So pretty much, I don't know why I picked that time. I think at one point I found that was when most people were either not watching a TV show or, were browsing their phone or something. That's just when seems like I get the most engagement. So 9 p.m., that's kind of my sweet spot.
Yeah, gotcha. So something that seems like it's a little more recent, and I feel like I've seen many people not get on you, but make or just have fun with you a little bit about it. Since you've got the massive video background and you do it for the day, the obvious next step you would think is like, this guy must be like all over YouTube. Like this is what he does. He makes videos. And so I know you're posting more recently, but why have you kind of always just stuck with Instagram? Was it more of a time thing or you do this all day so it's like the last thing you want to do on your weekends?
In reality, it was it was pretty much I was scared to death of YouTube.
Really? Okay.
Like, Instagram is this nice, happy family of everyone's encouraging.
That's true. Yeah.
And everyone's really nice about stuff. If, I mean, every now and then there's some tiffs here and there about stuff. But for the most part, Instagram's happy-go-lucky, yeah, and everybody loves your stuff. YouTube, I mean, if you do one thing moderately off, I mean, you'll have every troll under the bridge throwing rocks. And I was always just, you know, mortified that I would do something stupid and I would, you know, catch all the flack for it. But now I realize that no one's even watching. So, I mean, I'm totally over that.
So yeah. So what made you do the switch then? Just this knowing that, hey, I can put stuff out there just because it's
yeah,
right,
I mean,
now.
For the most part, I mean, it's going to take a long time before I reach any goals of big subs, big numbers on YouTube. I think I'm not even at 300 yet, but there's something about YouTube that I like and that is different from Instagram. And I think that people on YouTube like YouTube and people on Instagram like Instagram. And there's very few people that like both. But I happen to like both, but YouTube, it's hard to break into because there's just so many people, yeah, doing a lot of the same things. I mean, it's the same way with Instagram, but it's a little bit different of a following. You don't have to sit down and watch a 10-minute video on Instagram. You usually just see a post and flick right through it. When you sub to somebody on YouTube, you want to watch their content. So it's just different. Yeah. But I really like YouTube. There's just something about sitting down and watching somebody talk about something for a little bit longer than, you know, 60 seconds that I like.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like you almost get to develop more of a relationship with the person that you're watching, especially on the YouTube side of things. That's cool. So switching to the actual making side of the stuff, I know we've been talking a lot about video and photography, but what do you tend towards now? Like, what are the projects you really enjoy working on? Is it like the fine furniture builds, or is it more the DIY stuff? Like, what do you really like getting into?
I really love to build, I wouldn't say fine furniture because that would put me in some sort of category that I would never even,
yeah,
come close to fitting,
okay,
in,
good.
Because nothing I've ever made is quote unquote fine furniture. But I like more of a finished furniture, okay, not rustic. Something that would be like mid-century modern.
Okay.
Okay. That's my like bread and butter. I love that look and those designs. So if I were to like pick something, I would say I would love to build anything in that mid-century modern look.
Gotcha. So working mostly with hardwoods and.
Yeah, absolutely. I have tried to distance myself from like pine and fir. Although, I mean, if somebody wants one, like a farmhouse table, I'll knock one out, no problem.
Yeah, that makes sense. And so then on the, so here super recently, this is actually going out tomorrow, as of even when we record this. So this should be pretty recent for people listening as well. So you just, looks like you did something with Craig, is that right? That came out last week or 2 weeks ago, a project with them?
Yeah, I just released that last week, actually.
Okay. So was that whole world, has that been crazy, getting into more of like working with other businesses? And you mentioned being on a deadline to have to get something to them. What has that kind of experience been like? Because have you done much of that in the past?
No, that was actually my first sponsored content, I guess, okay, you would call it. I'd never done anything like that before. So when I reached out to Craig, and it actually goes back to Workbench Con back in February, I was down there and actually won a Craig Foreman at their booth. And I got to talking to them, and I just said, hey, you know, if there's anything that we can do to work together, you know, content, video, build, anything, just let me know. And I got an email like a month later and said, hey, if you're interested, we've got a slot in July that you could pick a build and, you know, build it, video it, Instagram post, you know, all of the standard stuff for a sponsor. And, you know, we'd love to work with you. So I was like, that sounds pretty good. I think I can handle that. And it was one of those things where I was like super jazzed about it, but I didn't quite know when I would have time to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was in between. It was actually like I just finished a project before that, had some free time. Like I said earlier, I actually took off a morning from work and just knocked out the build. I spent a bunch of hours before that on the plans and SketchUp and all of those type of things. So getting all the digital deliverables, you know, knocked out beforehand, that was all done whenever I had free time. I just had to figure out when I could be in the shop and actually build this thing.
That's cool.
So I just got it knocked out one morning, and then it took a couple hours to do the video.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, yeah. That's cool. Yeah, when I saw that, I was like, oh, man, that's sweet. So, because I think the link, I didn't realize it was Craig at first, and it linked, I guess, to their DIY or their building blog. And I was like, oh, this is cool. So, I know we're getting a little close on, or a little bit closer on time, but I would love for people that maybe they've got their shops built out, but they are trying to document and they are trying to post. And if I remember right, you've got some pretty nice gear. But for people that are just getting into it, like, what are some of the things that you say, hey, you're like, this wouldn't even cost anything, or like, you're not thinking through this. Like, this could be a really big help when you're thinking, especially taking pictures of the stuff that you're making.
So you just pretty much whatever you can use is the best camera. I mean, really, how far the iPhone has come is just mind-blowing.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I will still take iPhone pictures and post them because they still look decent.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, I mean, I think a lot of times people don't care about how pretty they look as much as what the content is.
Right.
I mean, I've found several times that I have taken a lot of time, waited for the right light, and taken some really nice, you know, high-end photos, and nobody cares. And then I will post a picture of my shop that is a disaster and get like 1,200 likes.
Yeah.
So it's kind of one of those weird things of people don't really care about how pretty it is as much as what it is. But saying that, I mean, you still want to have a decent looking photo. I mean, no one's going to look at something that you took with a potato and be like, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So having some sort of, you know, ground floor of quality does help. So, I mean, even just your basic iPhone is something great to get started with.
As far as how you're maybe setting up the shot or thinking through the staging, is there anything, I mean, outside of like just taking a picture of a messy shot, when you are trying to take more of a product photo, like, are you thinking through the background? Like, what does that kind of look like?
Yeah, I'm a huge natural light fan. Okay. So I hate shooting in my shop when I don't have to.
Yeah.
So if I can take the product or piece or whatever it is I'm going to be taking, you know, a photo of, if I can take it out into natural light at the right time, which would be like golden hour, if I can do that, I totally should. And if I can and I don't, then I'm lazy. It comes down, I mean, basically as simple as that. If you can get your stuff into better light, it's going to look better. I mean,
yeah, yeah, yeah. So a lot of, especially I'm looking at some of the pictures inside of your shop. So are you literally taking that like next to like a garage door or a door? Like, are you using that almost as like your main light a lot of times, even when you're inside?
Yeah, so most of my shots, I open the door and turn off all my shop lights.
Oh, really? Okay.
So most, I mean, well, it's been a while since I've done that, but 9 times out of 10, I will open the garage door and shoot an afternoon light. and let just the natural light come in, and that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
If it's past golden hour and it's late and I'm slacking on time or whatever, I'll bust out some lights and actually do some different lighting techniques and stuff like that. But for the most part, I'm a huge natural light guy. So if I can, the sun is the cheapest light you can buy. So if it's there, I'm going to try and use
it. Yeah, that's cool. So what are you using, especially to film, with, like, what's your kind of setup look like?
So for filming right now, I'm just using a Canon mirrorless, actually, just an M50. And I've got a couple of their M series lenses, but I've got the adapter, so you can use the ES lenses, okay. That whole line. So I could put any lens on that body that I wanted to, but for the most part, I don't need to. It's a really simple rig. Lighting is everything. So if you can get good light, you can make everything look decent. I mean, it really does help when you have a bigger camera with a better sensor.
Right. Yeah.
But you don't need it.
Yeah, you don't have to like crank your ISO super high and super grainy.
Right.
So when you do have to light something, do you have actual studio lights in your shop, or are you just kind of manipulating what's already in there?
Yeah, I have the luxury of having studio lights also. Okay. So I nobody will be able to see it, but I can turn on my, I've got an Aperture 120D right here on remote, which is phenomenal. So you can dial it in perfectly. But I have that, and I've got a bunch of modifiers and gels. And I mean, I can go crazy. I mean, having a background in photography where I thought I was going to do some studio work,
yeah,
and I bought a bunch of gear that has been collecting dust has really helped. And in a former life, I also did a little bit of product photography. So cool. That helps too.
Yeah.
So knowing what I know from that stuff has helped, you know, take some just random shots in the shop look a little bit better.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, I do have quite a bit of gear, and it's a little ridiculous.
What percentage would you say of the pictures on Instagram do you use like a nicer light setup?
I probably about half.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the rest of it's natural, mostly.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I mean, and that really just comes down to what am I doing? I mean, if I have time and there's something going on or that I'm actually building, I'll try to do all natural light, like I said, but that's not always the case.
Yeah. That's cool. I do a good bit of video stuff for my day job, and we got the 120D, I guess, the last year. And it was the first time we had like a nice soft box. I was like, my gosh, this makes a massive difference than what
it's completely, it's a game changer as far as being able to, I mean, it's got a Bowens mount, so you can put almost anything on it. It's great.
Yeah. I was talking, who was I talking with the other day? Over at, Crafted Workshop, and he was mentioning that he had, I think, a couple of those in his shop. He was going through a shop tour, and he just loved them. But that's cool. So as we're kind of wrapping up here, where do you see this moving forward? Like maybe at like a year down the road, you'll obviously have over 150,000 followers on Instagram. You'll be like 100,000 on YouTube. You'll be blown up. But, like, is this something you want to do on a more full-time basis, or do you like the balance between your day job and this? Like, what does this kind of look like for you?
I've been asked that before, and I've always said that I don't think I ever want to do this full-time.
Okay.
I love how it's kind of set up with me right now as kind of an escape.
Yeah.
It's still my day job, but I get to do what I want to do.
Yeah.
I mean, I still get to do what I want to do with my day job. I have a lot of freedom with projects that are assigned me of, you know, what I want to do with those things. But for this, like, I'm brainstorming about what I want my next vlog to be.
Yeah.
And that's completely different than something that I need to make for my day job.
Right.
So having that, you know, those two separate worlds that are similar, but be different is so nice. It's great to be able to say, you know, I think I'm going to go down to the shop and just tinker for an hour and not have a deadline.
Yeah.
You know, it's something that I think I want to keep as an escape and not make it a full-time job. Now, if somebody comes knocking and it's, there's, you know, sponsorship money and it's good, I might have to rethink that escape. But as of now, I don't see that happening. So I really like how it is right now.
What about how you're kind of splitting your time? It sounds like you're doing some contract builds or custom builds versus your own stuff. Like, do you still like that mix of building things for other people versus making your own?
Yeah, I love building commission pieces. Okay. And that's pretty much all I've been doing for the past year and a half, really. The next three pieces I'm building are all commission pieces. I've got a bunch of CNC work that's all commission pieces. It's kind of funny because when the wife's to-do list of things to make for the house gets put on the back burner for commissions, she's okay with that.
Yeah.
Because the commissions, you know, it's some money making. Yeah. But I really like building stuff for other people because knowing that I've, you know, put my thought and my blood, sweat, and tears, as they say, into a piece, and then they love it just as much. That's a great feeling.
Yeah.
Knowing, you know, you've put something out there that is going to last, looks awesome, and that people love. I mean, commission work is great.
Do you have a favorite build?
Probably I did a reclaimed oak dining set.
Okay.
Early last year. Or I guess it was mid last year. Anyways, it was last year. And it weighed about 3,000 pounds. Jeez. And was just awesome.
Yeah.
When I finished it up, I just skip planed it. So it left all of the old circular saw marks from the mill. And it just turned out gorgeous. It's all 100-year-old plus oak out of tobacco barns here in Kentucky. And it turned out phenomenal.
That's cool. Well, Sweet Man, well, I appreciate your time and jumping on with me. For people that are wanting to check your stuff out, is Instagram, is that like the main hub that you would send people?
Yeah, absolutely.
Good stuff. And it's Keywood Works, or I guess Instagram.com, but Keywood Works. Well, cool stuff. And then I guess YouTube as well, Keywood Works.
Same. Yep.
Cool. Well, Sweet Man, well, I appreciate your time. It was a blast chatting with you.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, thanks for hanging around to the end. This is where I give you guys a quick update about the things that I have got going on. First and foremost, so coming up on about 5,000 followers over on Instagram, and you might care about that because I'm going to be doing a giveaway, hopefully with a bunch of different companies, but right now I know Tools Today is going to be coming back again, so be sure and be looking out for that. You guys will be notified about that through the podcast, but also if you guys are watching me on social media, then you will see that as well. You can enter to win. Inside the shop, there's been just a lot of sign stuff going out here recently. Been making those stadium signs that I mentioned before, the football stadium signs, and kind of just playing around with Etsy and seeing how that works. And then I'm also making a custom sign. This is my first one where I'm actually cutting out the letters. And so it's a little more 3D, so it's not carved in. And so I'm going to be gluing all kinds of letters to a sign. I think it's going to look really cool. And then when I'm done with it, I think I'm going to do a version of that with my own logo inside of the shop. And so that is what is coming soon. And as I've been posting pictures of these signs, I've been getting a lot of questions from you guys, kind of what is your process? Because I know a lot of people do different stages and how they produce different things, especially on signs. And so I've got a video that's nearly done that's going to be coming out hopefully later this week. Then you guys can see kind of my process on that. And I will make sure and let you guys know about where you can find that next week. But it should be up on my YouTube at the Make or Break Shop. As always, we are filling out guests for the rest of this year, especially our showcase edition of the shows. Those come out every other weekend. If you guys would like to be on the show, make sure and hit me up over on Instagram. If you got a cool project that you want to chat about, I would love to bring you on and talk about it. So I hope you guys are doing amazing. You're making some cool stuff. And feel free to hit me up as always. And I hope you guys make or break something in your shop. See you guys.